Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shahid, and this is the podcast where we usually compare film remakes with their source material. But on this episode, as per we've been doing for the last couple of months, we'll be breaking down the latest Bollywood news and discussing the movies that are coming out, Bollywood movies that are coming out in April of 2018. Now, this is kind of a special episode. Joining me today is first-time guest, Miss Alisa Rivera, better known in Twitter as Bollywood Newbie. Woo!
Thank you. Hi, Alisa. Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks. I'm super excited to be here.
I've kind of unmasked you, right?
You did. It's like, I'm not actually trying to conceal my identity online with Bollywood Newbie, but I do have my other Twitter feed under my real name that's more work-related, so I figured I wouldn't cross the streams and I would just have my Bollywood feed for fun and keep it completely separate. But no, I'm not. I don't have a mask. I'm not hiding anywhere.
That's what they all say when they're exposed. It's not intentional. I just have 17 different accounts.
Yeah. I'm talking to myself. Anyway.
No, it's okay. I do it all the time. So, but thank you so much for making the time. It was kind of last minute. I think this is one of the first new guest shows that came together pretty quickly. You were really down for it, and I was super excited for it, so it kind of worked out.
Yeah, and I'm hungry to do this because I don't have anybody in real life to talk to about this, and I keep going to my husband and my friends, oh, this Mollywood movie I saw was amazing, and this thing is coming out, and everybody just kind of gives me a blank look, and nobody's into it, so it's really cool, to use my voice. I use my, I'm online talking about it, but to actually talk to a person and hear them talking back is very nice.
No, that's you've literally summed up the reason I got into any of the things I do. It's because people in my everyday life, I mean, they share the same interests, but it's not to the level of extremism as me sometimes. Like, my wife will be interested for the first 2 minutes of me talking about something Bollywood. And then when I get into and the thing about this thing is, I can see her eyes glaze over. And at that point, I'm just talking to them for myself, So,
right.
But thank you so much for coming. It sounds like you fit right in.
Oh, yay.
So let me ask you. So you did mention that, you don't really have anyone in the similar. How did you get into Bollywood? Because you are, as you say, a newbie. How did you get into it all?
It's really, really, really random. So I was on a blog, and one of the commenters had the username Raja Hindustani.
Nice.
And I was like, what is that? So I, Googled it and I found the movie and I thought, well, what the hell? I'll watch it. And the thing is, it's kind of random that I did that because I'm not a big Hollywood movie consumer. In recent years, I've really fallen out of, I don't really like a lot of what Hollywood is putting out, so I don't watch many movies. It was just this total impulse to decide to dive into this random 90s Bollywood movie I'd never heard of, right? So I watched it, and I really liked it, and I thought, oh, this is so much fun. Who's this Amar guy? I should go look up more of his movies.
At least you didn't say something like, he's good, he should do more stuff like this.
Yeah, totally. And then so I found Dongle on... Nice. Netflix, and that I watched that one with my husband, who is also not a big movie watcher, but I persuaded him to watch it with me, and we both really loved it. And I thought, holy crap, this guy is really versatile, this is so different from this other role. And I looked him up and went, oh, he's just like one of the biggest movie stars in the world that of course I've never heard of because I'm an ugly American and like I don't know anything outside of my little bubble, And so I just fell in. Amar is still my favorite actor. I'm a fan, definitely a big fan of his. And I did a deep dive into all his movies, not all of them, but like all the big ones. And then I started to branch out from there. And this was just in September. And I think I've seen like 40 movies since then.
I love how your origin story goes so deep, and and then I went into all these things, and this was just last week.
It's totally like that. It's kind of insane. Wow. I actually had to slow down how many movies I was seeing because I was watching too many, and I was starting to lose track of what I'd seen. So I said, let me just chill out a little bit. One movie a week is okay, and I can rewatch a movie that was really good and kind of get into it a little more. But yeah, when you consider how long the movies are, it's, you know, I'm
that's an achievement.
Shocked. Yeah, exactly.
Like your husband probably didn't see you for like a week.
Oh my God. Well, he's very patient with me. But I felt really vindicated because he went, this is hilarious. He went to a 7-Eleven and they were playing Chaya Chaya on their radio. He recognized it.
Beautiful.
And he comes home, he goes, that train song was on the radio.
That's awesome.
And I was like, you should have told them that you knew the song and, you know, blown their minds at
the
store.
Yeah, just had like a cool song. I love this. My favorite.
yeah, exactly.
So in your, I guess, in your very recent sort of history with Bollywood, have you picked anything up? Like, have you picked up any patterns? Have you noticed anything that kind of, any insights that, you know, like, I haven't done that, so... my insights come back from childhood. So have you, is there anything that you're like, huh?
Yeah, a lot, actually. I mean, well, because it's interesting because I think there's like two different levels of appreciation. Like, of course, you can just enjoy them for the music, which I love, actually. I didn't expect that, but I play it in the car now. I'm really into the music. And everybody's gorgeous. Because Bollywood does not truck with ugly people. It's like everybody's jaw-droppingly beautiful. And the costumes. I mean, on a superficial level, you can really enjoy the movies. But then there's also a lot of cultural stuff. And so I'm learning a lot, you know, like this centrality of family and family ties and, you know, the good and bad aspects of that in the culture. And since I'm Puerto Rican, and actually a lot of there's parallels between the cultures too, so I kind of identify with some of that.
I find that too true to be like almost like, I mean, I was very like, when I was younger, I was very like, this is an exclusively brown thing that happens in brown families. But as I got older, I'm like, hey, Jewish moms are kind of like brown moms, and so on, and you're kind of like, wow, everyone kind of deals with, especially here, right, in North America, like when you're talking about like immigrant families or whatever, it's always like, yeah, we kind of all have lived the same life in certain aspects in some ways or another.
No, totally. In fact, I think the American style family is actually really an anomaly, because if you look at a lot of different immigrant families, it's like multi-generational households, and you have the older people having a lot of decision-making authority over the rest of the family, and you know, the kinds of conflicts that come up. We're not quite as socially conservative, and we don't have like arranged marriage and stuff like that, but there is a lot of similarities. So it's been super interesting just to learn about the culture, the religion, the history, because I didn't know anything about partition. I didn't know about the emergency. I didn't know, and I've learned that stuff because of watching the movies, and I'm like, holy shit. Again, ugly American, because like, I've been like, and like, oh, I don't know fucking anything that goes on.
I know Americans. I feel like I should be offended at you saying that over and over again about yourself.
Like, no, but it's true, because I'm embarrassed that I knew so little. And of course, I still know so little, but at least I know more now. And it's been really an eye-opener for me. Like, oh my God, you know.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that you feel embarrassed about things you don't know just prove how not ignorant you are. Because if you were ignorant, you'd be like, I don't give a shit about, like, you know. There's things I am willfully ignorant of. K-pop. There's a lot of, I have my feed sometimes. There's a lot of people I know that are into K-pop. I know nothing of K-pop. When I see K-pop on my stream, I scroll like nobody's business, because I don't want to know about K-pop, because I think it's just something I'm going to get totally sucked into, and I don't need that in my life right now. But the fact that you did that you kind of just, it came from a name, which is so weird. Like, what about Raja Hindustani made you go, I want to know what this is, and I want to find that? Like, what about that appeal? Because like, obviously you didn't understand what the words meant. Right?
No, it was really, I'm starting to think it was fate. No, I don't know, because it's just random.
Amir called out to
like,
me.
Why did it, I know, why did it, what, you're, I, you know, I'll be your next obsession. No, I don't know, honestly. I mean, I'm also somebody who gets into random shit. Like, I was into pre-code Hollywood movies for a while, which is movies that were made before 1934, before the Hays Code came in, which, by the way, are really fun to watch. I recommend that.
Because they're totally, like, off the wall batshit crazy, or...
No, because before the Hays Code came in, there was a lot of sex and violence, and it was also at a time in America when things were going through a lot of upheaval politically and economically that was reflected in the movies. So it's actually a super interesting time.
Is there anything I would have heard about? Because I can't think of any movies.
You would have heard of All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, yes.
You would have Scarface.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Public
okay,
Enemy.
So,
yeah, like
so clearly I've seen some stuff pre-code. And yeah. I just didn't know that they were pre-code. Cool.
Right, right. So cool. I get into random shit. So this is just like another random shit interest of mine. Like I get into, like I knit, I do plants. I don't know. I'm just like, I have a lot of little things I'm into. So
really quick Etsy business idea for you. Knit Bollywood related stuff.
You know, that's
I would
so
love
funny.
A Bollywood tea cozy or something.
I think that's actually a fantastic idea. It says Melanie, who does the Pardesi channel,
mm-hmm.
Her dad got an Etsy bag made for her with all these Bollywood movies on it. And I was like, your father's the best father ever. So that's really cool.
Hey, you could be that person that gets custom orders for Bollywood stuff.
Totally.
So what is your, I wasn't going to ask because I didn't think you debauched enough Bollywood to kind of have something like that now, but clearly you have. Besides Amir Khan, is there anyone else that stands out to you in the industry in terms of like an actor, actress that you kind of go, that's my jam?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody would say this, but Amitabh is, you know, his 70s work is incredible. And of course, he deserves, I mean, he's kind of nuts if you see his Twitter feed.
Well, like, now, but he's like 80, guys.
I know.
Like, I get really upset at this Amitabh hate because I'm like, guys, he's 80.
I don't hate him at all.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just, there's a lot of people, like, I hear a lot of the jokes and I'm like, yeah, I get it. He's batshit crazy. But hey, if my grandfather had Twitter, you would hear some shit too. So.
He doesn't just have Twitter, though. He has a Tumblr. Yeah. That really blew my mind when I found out he had a Tumblr. I laughed my ass off. Yeah. He's really funny on it, too. He sounds drunk half the time. But no, I'm ragging on him when I'm actually... I think he's amazing. I think he's absolutely one of the most charismatic, great actors, you know, of any industry, any culture. He's really, really great. In terms of the actresses... I think right now my favorites, I would say Rani is definitely one of my favorites. Vidya, Kangana.
Yes.
Madhuri is amazing, of course. She's more of a movie star, though, which is fine. I wouldn't call her like a great actor, but she's got so much charisma, you know?
Yeah, I think excuse me, at the time, like, I always felt like actors like Madhuri, they didn't get chances to do stuff that we see actors doing now in terms of like getting roles where they can, you know, really kind of blow up and like show their actual talent. There's scenes, there's like these amazing moments in movies in the 90s where you're like, oh my god, that was great. But she's definitely a star. And yeah, definitely, like, even if you watch like a song video of hers, which we will later on in this show, you can see the charisma, you can see the kind of stuff that, and that stuff's universal too, right? When you see something where, you know, you don't know what they're saying, you don't know what, but it's just like, you're like, what? Oh my god, she's having so much fun. Like, it just kind of puts a smile on your face.
Yeah, like when she's on the screen, you're not looking at anybody else. I mean, even when she, because the two movies of hers that I really enjoy from the 90s are Humapka Hain Kun and Humapka Hain Kun.
So all the ends are silent sometimes. Like we were discussing this earlier about the syntax of English Hindi words. But yeah, the H's in those situations are silent for some reason.
Okay, thank you. Because I know I'm slaughtering it and I'm embarrassed. But that's like one where she's on the screen with Salman at his most handsome, right? He's also very charismatic and good looking in that era. And she blows everybody else away. She's just incredible. The one person I haven't really gotten into yet, but I suspect is going to shoot to the top of my list, is Sridevi, because I saw English Vinglish, and man, I was so impressed with her in that. And I've been watching her songs, but I haven't seen any of her other films yet, so I have to. But I, you know, Hawaii, I've been watching that and some of the other stuff. Yeah, and she just, man, apart from being incredibly beautiful, she just had that it factor, you know.
She was really funny too. Like, which
yeah.
Like, I look back on it now, and I kind of think about it, I'm like, there was no actress at the time, and I mean, not even today to a point that was that self-deprecatingly funny. Like, they weren't afraid to be the butt of the joke.
Yes.
And she was. And she clearly just kind of put herself out there and, you know, got made fun of, and just was vulnerable and charming and witty and physical comedy. Oh, my God. Like, I don't think any actress has done that kind of physical comedy as she does. She had.
And, you know, you can really see her dance training, because I haven't seen, like, oh, like, I've only seen the one movie, but in the songs, when she does her little moments of funny stuff, but it's very subtle, like, she's got a lot of physical control over her gestures and her facial expressions, and that's hard, you know, I mean, that's hard to do well, and she, you know, I want to see, but the thing is, like, some of the movies, I want to see, and you're going to have to help me with this, Chandni,
that was perfect.
But I hate Rishi Kapoor.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah.
Like, you know, I kind of want to see that.
I think, was that you? There was like a gif on
it
Twitter.
Was me, yeah.
That was you, right? Where it's
yeah,
like,
it was me.
It's like the moment you realize that you want to watch, you know, Chandni for Sridevi, but then you realize you hate Rishi Kapoor.
Yes. And it was Kanye, you know, smiling.
Yeah,
and
yeah. And then
yeah,
frowning
yeah.
Right away.
So,
yeah, yeah.
That was me, yes. That's how I feel about it. But I'll probably suck it up and watch it. And I want to see Mr. India. I mean, you know, I'll get around to it. The thing is, you should see my watch list. I've got like 200 movies queued up.
Oh,
that's the other
God.
Thing about Bollywood. You guys make so many movies.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
so many Bollywood movies. And
there's
they're
a, like the turnaround time for Bollywood is ridiculous. And again, like getting into what we're going to be doing today, it's like some of this stuff, like you find out it's even being made and released within like 2 weeks, and it's like, oh, this is happening now, great. Whereas you hadn't, I mean, there's the big names where you hear about for a long time, but I mean, there's some movies on the list we're going to be talking about today where we don't have a trailer and the movie's supposed to come out in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
I
and
know
it's kind of like,
it's
what's
so
happening
crazy.
But so anything else on your list, anything else on your wish list of things that Bollywood related that you want to check out but you haven't yet, or any sort of patterns or themes or genres of movies or anything?
Oh my gosh, I think I want to get, well, I don't
he asked to the woman with 200 movies to watch.
I know. I'm like floundering about which ones I'm going to see. I mean, I want to see more of the 70s films, like Sholay. I've seen Divar, which
yes.
was amazing. Yeah. Amazing. But I feel like that's an era that, like the 70s era in Hollywood, where there was just like a lot of social change going on. So it's super
yeah.
interesting to watch it. And I haven't really gotten it. Part of the problem is I'm having trouble finding the films.
Yeah, it's
so,
really hard.
Yeah.
It's weird too. I would have assumed after Sridevi's passing, I would have assumed we would have, and I mean, maybe they're working on it, maybe it just hasn't happened yet. I would assume there'd be an influx of sort of Sridevi movies that would be kind of coming up on, you know, Netflix or Amazon Prime and things like that. But yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, the 90s movies are pretty easy to find
yeah.
because there's a lot of nostalgia about them. So I guess, but older films, not as much. Oh, but that, those some of the black, I actually want to see Avara, which I have, Avara, I don't know how you pronounce that.
Avara,
but,
that was good. That was very good.
Avara. Ah, thank you. I feel so good. That I haven't, but I did see Shree 420, but I want to see some of more
nice.
Of the older black and white ones.
Yeah.
I haven't touched on that too much, but, you know, I have
yeah.
time.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Trust me. You're get, I think, trust me, even I have, like, a list of old stuff I need to watch, which it's like, when? How? But
yeah, exactly. Like, people keep saying, oh, you have to see this one, and I'm, like, crying, because I'm like, oh, okay, I'll put it in the queue. I don't know, but yeah.
You're like, I have things to do in life.
Yeah. And it's what you're in the mood for, too.
Yeah. So let's get into to why we're here today, which is we're going to quickly take a look at some of the most recent news that's come out of Bollywood. Really, you know, announcements, casting, things like that, and just kind of see what hits and see what misses, kind of. Some of this stuff doesn't even make any sense, really, but let's get through it. This upcoming, the first thing we have is the upcoming movie Race 3, which is releasing June 15, 2018, directed by Remu D'Souza, starring Salman Khan, Jacqueline Fernandez, Bobby Deol, and Aditya Panchali and Saqib Saleem as well, which was interesting. Just released the first look and character posters for the movie. I think almost everyone got a cool little character poster. Salman released them on Twitter. Race 3, Alisa, I don't know if you're... I don't know. Have you seen the other Race movies at all? Have you been following the Race franchise?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, you're not
Is
missing
it like
anything.
You?
Yeah, it's... I mean, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's like a poor man's Doom. Which, if you've seen Doom, you're like, what? How do, what?
How do the poor man's version of the Doom?
Okay, here's how I compare, right? I mean, and this is not, there's no rationale behind my comparison of these two movies. But the way I compare this is, remember when Fast and Furious came out?
Yes.
For cars? Remember it was quickly followed by Torque, which was what Fast and Furious was for cars. That was supposed to be for, like, I think Lawrence Fishburne was in it. That was supposed to be, like, the bike version of Fast and Furious. That's what I think of when I compare Doom and the race franchises. Doom is the Fast and Furious, the more successful brand, and race is the one that's kind of just there somehow, and it's just kind of, like, doing its thing, and you're like, okay, why?
Yeah. Somebody's making money, that's why.
Exactly. Yeah. So, the description on IMDb... I'm not even shitting you. Literally, this is what it reads on IMDb. The story of a landowner who gets sabotaged by a criminal. That's it. That's all you get. So the director is Remo D'Souza, which is also weird because he's usually known for, like, sort of dance-related. I mean, he's done some action movies with Ajay Devgn as well. You've seen the first look posters. They were tweeted out by Salman. We've got a look of... Sorry, Daisy Shah's in the movie as well. No relation. What did you think about these posters?
I mean, they're like standard issue Salman Khan action movie posters, you know. I mean, he looks good, you know. I'm not going to be opposed to him in a tight shirt. He's like, you know, he's still, despite being jacked and steroided and whatever else is going on with him, he still looks really good. But, you know, I mean, one thing that kills me is the one of Daisy Shah. They describe her as waiting to explode, and then you look at her and she looks anesthetized in the poster.
Even she's like, I'm doing what now?
Exactly. She looks a little confused. And she's kind of holding the gun, like, you know, like, I don't even know what to do with this thing. Well, so I wasn't too impressed with her.
I do like, though, that you've got her, and again, knowing nothing about the movie, based on this poster alone, I'm assuming she might be like the detective or something, because she's in a very sort of formal getup. But what I love is deep neckline, cleavage, and I'm assuming a lace top underneath all of that. Like,
I was joking. Like,
what is happening?
I was joking with my husband. She's waiting to explode out of her blouse, you know?
Oh, God. So, yeah.
Anyway. Funny thing, I don't know if you saw the news, but Sylvester Stallone put something on social media congratulating Salman with a picture of Bobby Dale instead of Salman in the post.
Yeah, I did see that. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what Sylvester's trying to do. Like, I don't know if is he campaigning for, like, roles in Bollywood? Like, what's going on?
Well, apparently there's a rumor he has a secret cameo in the movie, which of course is going to be like your other Bollywood movie secret. Makes sense. In nothing's ever a secret.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, he'll be in the trailer. Odds are.
Right. Or something. He'll walk by Salman on the street and high five him, and that'll be the cameo.
He'll be the guy in the gym who, like, spots him or something.
Right. Specific to race, I will probably not. This is probably going to be a skip for me, but I did really love the Doom movies, despite I'm kind of shocked that I actually did enjoy those. So,
I mean, if you like Doom, you might like the race movies. I believe the first race movie was the directing duo of Abbas Mastan. And the only thing you need to know about these guys, if you haven't seen any of their movies, is the entire story is literally plot twists. Like, they don't have plot points. It's just like, the whole story is, like, 19 plot twists over the duration of the movie. So it's even hard to explain what happens, because you're like, so they were brothers, but then he was adopted, but then he wasn't, and he was going to kill him. And you're just like, what are you talking about? But, yeah, anyways. You might like Race. I didn't like the first... I mean, what's the best thing about the Race movies was Anil Kapoor, which is, again, another 90s sort of guy. He just plays like this overblown, exaggerated cop guy. Just like the cheesiest, just hams it up every time. And he's, I think, the only actor carrying through from the other movies into Race 3. Personally, the posters to me looked, very forgettable. You could take out that 3 in the background of Salman's poster, and it could just look like an image from Bodyguard.
Like, totally.
It doesn't... I mean, I am excited about one thing. I'm weirdly curious to see Bobby Deol coming back. because I mean, again, if you didn't follow, he's like the other day old brother who like dropped out of movies for a while and like DJ'd at a club or something once, and you listen to his story. He did this interview recently. It was very refreshing for like a Bollywood star, and it was very much like he was talking about all the things he went through in his career and how it was weird and the life of a Bollywood star is hard. And it was like honest, like very honest and very refreshing to hear a Bollywood star talk about all the garbage that he's gone through. So yeah, so I'm interested that he's back in this sort of high profile thing, but I could be the only one.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that, yeah, the whole filmy family launching thing, the nepotism, to not use a nice word, is fascinating to me. It's so different from anything we experience.
You know what's weird? I'm always amazed at how often I find out in Hollywood that an actor or actress ends up being someone's kid, even though I've been watching their movies for like 10 years, and I didn't know that they were so-and-so's brother, sister, kid, grandfather, nephew. Like, it's always, to me, it's like, oh, really? Like, I had no idea, because it's so, like, not something that they tout, whereas here, it's like, look at my dad, woo! And it's like, what?
Well, it's a whole thing. They'll say, oh, this so-and-so's ready to launch their kid. It's coming up next year, and, you know, they're being groomed, and it's all very, it's, I find that odd.
Yeah.
But that's just like a cultural thing, yeah.
Let's move on to the next bit of news we have, which, now this is the one that's out of left field. Apparently there is going to be, and this has been reported by, not Bollywood outlets, but this has been reported by major Hollywood outlets, Variety, Deadline, things like that. But apparently Archie Comics have announced plans to develop a Bollywood-style live-action film based on the comic book characters. And they're going to be going into production. The comic book is going to be translated in an Indian setting and blah, 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 blah. And it's weird. The whole thing is just weird, Elisa. What is your take on all that?
I think it's weird, too, because Archie is such a quintessentially American thing. And, like, the original comics were all about Americana and small-town life and so forth. And now the newer stuff is a subversion of all that. It's a commentary on how corrupt America is and culturally corrupt America is. So I don't know how that translates to an Indian setting. It's just, unless, I just can't figure it out. It doesn't really make sense unless they're going to use it as a launching point to critique Indian culture. But given what I see coming out of Bollywood, that would be unlikely. Like, you don't see those kind of movies that often. So, at least, you know, like, so unless it's something like that, I can't figure out how that translates at all. Unless they're going to do a super...
I don't get it either. Like, will we replace, like, milkshakes for, like, bhelpuri or, like, I don't get how that's going to work. Like,
it'll be laddus.
Right. Let's go to the laddu shop, guys. After cricket practice. It's also weird because, like, my first reaction to hearing this news was, like, if you just take the kind of the bare bones of what Archie was, which is, you know, at its core, it was, you know, dopey hero, sort of in a love triangle with the rich, powerful, you know, character, the girl character, and then the wholesome American girl character, and it's a love triangle, and then you've got other animated supporting characters to make up, like, this kind of high school life story. If I take that, then I can kind of rant off a bunch of Indian movies that have already done that. Like, I mean, the biggest one would be, like, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai with Shah Rukh Khan, Kajol, and Rani, which, again, Kajol is very much a Betty. Shah Rukh Khan is probably a little too suave to be Archie, but Rani was definitely Veronica. And you kind of see that stuff, and then there's been other ones too. There's been Ishq Vishq, which was Shahid Kapoor's first movie. There's Imran Khan's first movie, Jaane Tu Ya Jaane Na, which again have these similar young, youthful college kids. You know, there's, you know, and their lives and stories, not really a romantic story, but just the lives of these characters. And I kind of go, what are you gonna do now to improve on that? Unless we're having like a Riverdale adaptation from the CW.
Right, that's the only thing I can think of, because the original doesn't really make any sense.
No.
Or, I mean, it's a nostalgia trip. It doesn't
Which
really
doesn't
translate.
Make sense in India.
No, I agree with. I mean, I'll watch it. I'm 100% sure I'll watch it.
Have you been watching Riverdale on CW?
I watched the first season. I don't have cable, so I have to wait for the
Netflix?
Seasons to be out. But I loved it, actually. I was surprised because, I mean, I'm way past teen drama age, but I thought it was really well done. And actually, as an older person, I was like, I'm really depressed that this is how teens are viewing us, because every adult in that show fucking lets these kids down and is a complete failure. They're either actively corrupt or they're inept. You know, like Archie's dad is well-meaning, but incapable of actually doing anything to help. And then, you know, some of the other parents are actively criminal. So it's just, it was, it's, I think there's a lot. It's a really rich show. I just don't know how that would translate into a Bollywood setting.
Yeah, in a way that hasn't been done before. Because again, anything I can think of, like even Riverdale, like I'm thinking of, I'm like, yeah, the Bhatt movies, like Vikram Bhatt, all their movies are kind of in that milieu of, like, you know, betrayal and love and affair and cheating and murder mystery kind of things. And I'm like, I don't get what we're going to do with this. Unless, I think they should just kind of lean into it and just give us, like, an Indian version of, like, a Ginger Archie and do, like, a, like, just do literally, like, a shot-for-short remake of the comic books, I think, at this point. I think that would be more interesting to me than them trying to adapt anything into an Indian setting.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's going to be weird, but that's okay.
That's okay.
I will, but like I said, I will watch it. It's definitely, like, if for nothing else, just to, like, bizarro factor.
Just to come on to a podcast and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. And then we can, like, we can do the split screen podcast in its original incarnation. Yeah.
All right. You call dibs on that. So that's it. Done. Over. You call dibs. It's done. So moving on from one Bollywood remake of something American, we've got yet another one. The Fault in Our Stars, which I think was a, I forget the guy's name, but it was one of those sort of teen romantic dramas that have been adapted in from a book into a movie. Did really well in Hollywood and is set to be remade into Bollywood as well. The movie stars Shashank Singh Rajput. The story is about essentially two cancer patients that meet in support group and essentially fall in love, even though their lives literally have an expiry date. I haven't seen The Fault in Our Stars, but the Bollywood remake should be interesting, to say the least. I'm not really interested. But the big news now is that the movie has found its leading lady in Sanjana Sanghi. Let's go with that. There's a picture of it. The director, Mukesh Chhabra, tweeted out the announcement. And she looks 12.
Yes.
Yes.
And the guy does not. And I found that really disturbing because I've read the book. I haven't seen the movie.
Okay.
But the fact that they're the same age is super important.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for her to look 12 is actually okay in the context of the book, because it's this tragic romance of these kids who should be looking forward to the future and are not, right? I mean, they can't. But the guy looks like 30, you know?
Yeah. is 30. I think he's like 30. Is he? I think he's 31, 32 or something.
Well, exactly. So, like, the whole tragedy of a young life cut short, it's not that he's not young, it's just been, it's not as poignant as a teenager, plus it's creepy. He's an older dude creeping on a younger kid with cancer. I just thought, yeah. I would probably still watch this, though, just for the what the fuck factor again, just to kind of go, like, what is this about?
Split Screen podcast episode? You got it.
There you go, yeah. I mean, but in terms of the storyline, I actually think it's a perfect teen, it's a perfect melodrama for Bollywood. I could just totally see them really getting into it.
I get that. I see that too. I mean, from, again, I haven't seen the movie because it's not my jam, as I would say. I guess my kids would say. But I get the reason for making the movie. And I think this is one of those weird situations where her casting makes more sense than his casting. Because legitimately, Shashank Singh Rajput, he's a pretty decent actor. I'm kind of waiting for him to blow up because he's done movies where he's been really good. He's done movies where he's really sucked. And I'm kind of waiting for him to hit his sort of groove. He is 32 years old, legitimately. And not for nothing, he looks like he's 32 years old. So it's kind of weird. Now the actress herself. So again, I was very weirded out when she was first cast because I'm like, she's really wrong for the role. I don't know what's happening. This shouldn't be happening. But then I realized, have you seen the movie Hindi Medium?
I haven't.
But you're aware of what I'm talking about.
Right? I am. Yeah, I know what the movie's about.
So in that movie, she plays a younger version of the actress in that movie, the Pakistani actress. And it was one of those rare moments in Bollywood where they cast perfect younger versions of the main stars in the movie. Because the younger guy for Irfan Khan was amazing. And she was a great younger version. And I remember she's in literally one scene. It's just it's an opening song that just kind of catches, kind of does a montage of their love story. So she's in maybe half the song. And I remember watching this girl and I'm like, oh my God, she's really cute. Like, and not in a sort of generic, oh, just another model kind of way. I'm like, oh, she's really, like, she's emoting. Like, and she has no lines. I think she maybe has, like, four lines or something. And then it's just all song. And I'm like, she's cool. So once I realized that, I'm like, I will watch this movie for her. But now I'm like, this weird that he's there. So.
Yeah. And, you know, it's part of this whole thing of much older men being cast against young women in general. Playing. Right, and people playing parts that are like Amr playing a college student when he was 42.
Yeah, but that's the thing too, though, right? Like with that, I don't want to say I can defend that, but when you have a guy like Amr who does kind of go a little intense, like he does get in shape, drop that weight, and kind of you could be like, yeah, you're not a college student, but if I was to picture you as like a college running back or something, I could probably see you getting away with it. But this, I think, again, I don't know if Shashank Srivastava is going to drop weight and, you know, babyface himself up somehow. I don't know. But
it's creepier because, like, Amr was playing against other actors who were the same age as he was but who were playing younger.
Yeah.
So they were all on an E, including Karina, so it wasn't
as that weird, super, yeah. True.
Yeah, and now, but with this, it's like, what's he doing? Trolling the pediatric cancer ward for his girlfriend? You know, it's just.
The only way I could see it work is if they both, because of the story, because of the fact that it is sort of their cancer patients, maybe they'll both be deglamorized to the point where they do look similarly aged. I'm wondering if, I mean, thinking about it now, I wonder if Shashank Singh does lose weight for it. Again, if he's playing alleged cancer, you know, patient, because you it would make sense, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, but they won't. You know, they won't. I mean, even the American version didn't.
I'm like, oh, we got hope, and you're like, nah, bro, he's not gonna do it.
Well, in the American version, I forgot the girl's name, but she looks amazing, Shailene, like a freaking model.
Yeah.
And I mean, so does the guy. And I actually, this is a weird aside, I used to work at a cancer hospital. I know what cancer patients look like. And trust me, they don't look like cancer patients. It's Hollywood, which is fine. You don't, you know, I get it. It's just like, there's no way in Bollywood they're going to do that. It's just never going to happen.
Especially in her first leading role, right?
Yeah, which is fine. It's what it is. I'll give it a chance.
All right.
I may be cringing, but I'll give it a chance.
Speaking of cringing, excellent segue. And speaking of early Madhuri songs from earlier on in the episode, the song remake of Ek To Teen, one of Madhuri's biggest hits from the movie Tezab, has been remade for Baghi 2, and the song is starring Jacqueline Fernandez. And the remake song is essentially getting a lot of attention on social media. And by attention, I mean being reviled and despised on social media by anyone and everyone under the sun. Because essentially, I guess the viewpoint is that the Madhuri song is untouchable. It is sort of like a legacy. It is one of those pop culture massive hit songs. And how dare they remake it? Alisa, now you don't have any of that baggage, right? You're not coming into this with, you know, all this sort of iconic connotations. You've seen the original. You've seen the remake. Your thoughts?
Jacqueline is no Madhuri. No offense. I mean, you know, it's not a fair fight. I get if there's a fight, that's the wrong way to put it. You know, you're right. I don't have any sentimental attachment to the original, but Madhuri is just so great at doing the cute little gestures, and she does these little things with her eyes, and she really knows, and you know, she really knows how to play to the camera. And whereas Jacqueline is just pushing sex, and in a really plastic way. Like, I was looking at her face, and this sounds terrible. I'm gonna be a total bitch, but like, she can't really move her face. She's clearly been Botoxed a lot, and and she's a beautiful woman, right? But it's very like formulaic. It's like she's a Maxim model dancing, doing the song.
Well, it's cool though that you have the same opinion, because like, my thing always is that, you know, when we have such a sort of high emotional or sentimental value attached to something, we're not going to be objective about it. There's so many things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be like, guys, really, the production value for this one is a lot. Like, we can't be. And again, it's not anyone's fault. It's just, it's impossible. So it's funny to me. That's why I was asking that. It's funny to me that when you come into the picture with none of that, and you still go, yeah, the thing from 30 years ago was still better than this piece of garbage now. That to me is interesting. And I think that kind of gives you that objective comparison of, yeah, it's not just us brown people freaking out about something that we held dear when we were younger. That it is objectively one. I mean, not objectively, it's all art, but yeah, I completely agree with you.
I mean, I'm not, and I'm somebody who I think anything can be remade as long as you're doing a new take or something interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel like there was, there's nothing really to it that makes it any, like, you know, wasn't like she took some refreshing.
No, and that's the other thing too, right? That the song, even the setting, like in terms of like the visualization in the video.
Yeah.
Seems to be very much beat for beat what the original did. And the thing that I think a lot of people are just getting super pissed off about, she's literally just copying the moves too. Which,
yes, that
it's
one,
like, you can come up with
move.
Something different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think that's, and again, I feel like if it was completely different with the same song in the background, it might be kind of like, okay, you know what, they did their own thing and they did their own thing. But no, you're literally just doing that thing and it's not going to be better, so why are you doing it?
There's ways to do it too, because there's other movies that have been referential with music to older movies that were much more clever. Like, I just discovered this a couple of days ago, but the medley that's from some Hrithik Roshan Ron, and Karina. And don't ask me the name of the movie; I don't remember.
Karaoke?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So
that's a huge it's a huge Yash Raj thing they do a lot in their movies. They'll do like sort of a parody medley or something like that. Yeah,
and it's a callback to, it advances the plot, but it's also a callback to these other movies. And I thought, well, that's clever. That's a good way to do it. But this thing, for all the controversy it caused, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's forgettable, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. It's forgettable. Yeah.
Which is sad. Yeah. So speaking of throwbacks, this is a bit of news that Elisa will have no idea about. I didn't even try to contextualize this for her because I can't contextualize it. Rahul Roy, one of India's heartthrobs from back in the day 90s, he is the original Aashiqui star. To put into context for people that might not know him, Aashiqui 2 with Aditya Roy Kapoor and Shraddha Kapoor, which was like this big hit a couple of years ago, that was based on Aashiqui, which he was the star of. He also did like a weird, I think it was called Janoon, which was a weird Wolfman thing that he did, where it's really interesting. It was one of the first movies I've ever watched where I'm like that was like not like genre Bollywood, where I'm like, this is a werewolf movie. Like, what the hell am I watching? and it was really fun. But he's looking to make a comeback in the role of a high-ranking cop in Russia who's half Russian, half Indian. And he's completely corrupt and he's involved with the Russian mafia. So I would not usually care about something like this. But first of all, Rahul Roy to me is nostalgic because I used to have his haircut from when I was a kid in the 90s. And also the fact that this sounds completely insane. Like, I want to watch whatever the hell this is. I want to see Rahul Roy coming back as a cop who's Russian and Indian in Russia. Like, what is this movie? So yeah, and again, Elisa, I know you might not have nothing to say about this because you're probably like, I don't, that's a great shot. That's lovely. But yeah, I felt like this needed to be shared.
The only thing I'm excited about is looking up the haircut so I know what you look like as a kid.
That is something that you will not find in the show notes for this episode.
So when I tweet it at you, you'll know why.
Anyway. Yes, I'll retweet it. That's all I can say. So slowing things down a bit now is, and this is probably, personally to me, is I think the biggest story of the last few weeks. Irfan Khan, one of Bollywood's, I'm going to say, best actors working right now, and not just a Bollywood star. He is literally an international movie star. Irfan Khan, you've seen him in movies like Jurassic World, Life of Pi, A Mighty Heart with Angelina Jolie, The Lunchbox, Maqbool. And he's essentially, recently, he did tease a couple of weeks ago that something has happened to him health-wise, and he let everyone know what it is. He recently did let everyone know what it is, and essentially he's been diagnosed with a rare sort of tumor that they found, a growth. It's known as the neuroendocrine tumor. And currently he's seeking treatment for it. He's outside the country. And he's tweeted out, sort of, he's confirmed the information. He's tweeted out a great message. I'm going to read really quickly verbatim because I think it's a really cool sort of thing. And I love it that he's directly kind of communicating with his fans so that there's no conjecture, there's no, you know, assumptions, as happened with in the case of CW a couple of weeks ago as well. So he starts off in his tweet with a quote from Margaret Mitchell that says, I quote, "Life is under no obligation to give us what we expect." He continues on to say, "The unexpected makes us grow, which is what the past few days have been about. Learning that I have been diagnosed with neuroendocrine tumor as of now has admittedly been difficult, but the love and strength of those around me that I found within me has brought me to a place of hope. The journey of this is taking me out of the country, and I request everyone to continue sending their wishes. As for the rumors that were floated, neuro is not always about the brain, and Googling is the easiest way to research." Smiley face. "To those who waited for my words, I hope to be back with more stories to tell. Irfan." And I think, based on, again, recently what's happened with Sridevi, and for us to kind of be, as fans of this, as fans of them, as these people that influence our lives and kind of come into our homes, I think it's scary, very close to home, that, you know, that something like this has happened. I wish him all the best. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, you can't really, there's nothing to really do or say except, oh my God, okay, great, feel better. And then just kind of like wait with bated breath, right? Alisa, yeah. have you been exposed to a lot of Irfan? Like,
I haven't. You know, again, he's one of those people that's on my list. Like, I have the lunchbox queued up, but to have it, which I haven't seen yet. But he's somebody that I was thinking about what it's like to be sick in the public eye, and that this is how awful it is, because he had that weird cryptic tweet before he made the big announcement, and which caused a lot of talking, and people were speculating, well, why did he do that, you know? And my guess is just based, I think there's that a journalist approached him somehow, something leaked, and he probably told that person, hold off and you'll get the first thing about it, and I'm going to do a little preview, and just to get ahead of the story. And I'm like, damn, you know, you have this really, it's a serious illness, you know. It could be cancer. He doesn't ever tell you if it's cancer or not, which makes me think it is, but I don't know that for a fact.
I'll put an article in the show notes that kind of does break down what this thing is. From my understanding of it, I'm not a doctor, clearly, but from my understanding of it, it is something that can potentially lead to tumor. It is a deficiency of certain cells in the body not being created and things like that, which, again, can lead to, I guess, worse things. But he did catch it pretty early, apparently, so...
But I mean, but the sadness of, like, you know, you can't just be sick, which is horrible. It's a really horrible to have a serious illness like that, but then you've got to think about the PR side of it. And I really played out with Sridevi story about how poorly the family, I don't want to be critical because they were shocked, of course, right?
Of course,
because nobody expected it, but they really fucked up on the PR side of things, and it turned into a circus.
I don't think it's ever something you can... in the case of Irfan, like, I think it's a testament to how open, or let's say how savvy he is with handling being in the public eye, realizing that, okay, I communicate with people on social media and blah, 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 so this is something that I can control, and I can, like I said, get ahead of, and I can control the narrative of this in the public eye. In the case of Sridevi, I don't think, like, it's completely fucked up to kind of think back and go, you know, in a situation like that, to go, oh, well, let me see how I can spin this in public, or, you know, make it easier for us to kind of, like, I don't think anyone's to really blame. Yeah, it could have been handled better, but at the same time, who's thinking in that way when you're in mind frame, right?
You know, I actually think it's a generational thing, too, because someone like Irfan being famous in the internet era versus people who became famous before that. It's a totally different environment.
Exactly.
And so obviously he knows he's got that direct line to get his story out when he needs it. But I hope, you know, I hope he recovers.
Yeah. All the best to him and his family. Actually.
Yeah.
So moving on now, funnily enough, it might be hard to move on from a story like that, but we're going to get to the trailers of movies coming out, the most interesting movies coming out in 2017 for Bollywood. And funnily enough, the person to help us get over the Irfan Khan bad news is Irfan Khan himself, with his upcoming movie of Blackmail that's releasing on April the 6th, 2018. The movie stars Irfan Khan, Kirti Kulhari, who you can remember from Pink if you've ever seen that movie. I loved her in Pink. As well as Divya Dutta and Arunoday Singh. See, I fucked things up too, Elisa.
But you say Irfan beautifully, so I've been taking notes. Anyway,
excellent. I'm glad. That was a compliment I never expected, but thank you. The film, like I said, is directed by Abhinay Deo, and he's mostly known for Delhi Belly, which is one of those Bollywood dark comedies that has kind of been really famous for that reason, that it's one of those crude, vulgar, dark comedies from Bollywood that you don't really get. There's a really good episode from the Bollywood is Lovers podcast. They covered it, Delhi Belly, as part of one of their episodes in episode 58, so definitely check that out. We saw the trailer for Blackmail. I was not expecting this movie to be what it seems like it is. Elisa, you've seen the trailer. What are your thoughts on Blackmail?
I loved it. I was cackling through the whole trailer. I also loved Delhi Belly, which I saw just a couple weeks ago.
Perfect.
And my husband loved it. And he's like my litmus test for movies that a non-Bollywood lover would get into.
Nice.
So, and he really enjoyed the movie. So I think obviously it's in the same vein. And yeah, it looks amazing. It's just the way it all plays out. All the actors look really strong in it too. So,
It looks insane.
Like the bit where they go, what do? Do I kill my wife? or kill the lover, and then his wife screams, I kill my wife? And then the lover screams, paralleling the wife scream. It was really funny. Yeah, just like little moments like that through the whole trailer. This is going to be definitely something I see.
I remember seeing the posters for this movie, and it looked very like with the title and the posters looked very like a serious thing, because a lot of the posters were just Irfan looking in like a suit and tie, looking very sour and into the camera, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is gonna be another one of his sort of dramatic films, whatever. I'll hold off on it, but I'm like over the moon that this is by the same guy that did Delhi Belly, and it looks just as ridiculous, just as the multiple story arcs and all kind of, like, I like that Bollywood comedy is getting to that point where it's not just silly slapstick, one-liner comedies, that it is like this ridiculous story of like 19 characters coming together and doing these crazy things, and all converging with the same sort of storyline. The cool thing here is, so I love Kriti Kulhari. She was in Pink. I don't know if you've seen that. I think that is...
I haven't.
It was on Netflix. In a movie with Tapsee Pannu and Amitabh Bachchan, she like stood out for me, which was... like, I've never seen her before anything else, but it was like, oh, wow. So now that she's in this, I'm like, oh, wow. And Divya Dutta, which is one of my favorite supporting actresses in Bollywood, who does not get enough praise, in my opinion. She plays the... okay, hold on. She plays the guy who's having an affair with Irfan's wife. She plays his rich wife, the one that... He asked for money. So she's another one of those sort of recognizable faces. Like, again, once you get into more, you'll start recognizing her in all these small performances here and there. I love that she's back, and she's like playing batshit crazy too. But yeah, I loved this. I loved it. I can't wait for this. This looks amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
And I love that Irfan didn't delay anything. Once his condition was announced, he said, no, the movie's going to release as per, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, I don't think he's doing any promotions for it, which is understandable. So there you go. Irfan Khan helps us get over Irfan Khan's bad health news with a comedy coming out in April 6th. This guy.
life comes at, whether weird comes at you fast or something, right? It's strange, yeah. Anyway.
All right, so moving on from lighthearted to just get you in the throat, gut-wrenching. We've got the movie October coming out in April 13, 2018. The movie is directed by Shujit Sirkar, written by Juhi Chaturvedi, starring Varun Dhawan, Gitanjali Rao, Banita Sandhu. The director and writer team are the same guys who have done movies like Vicky Donor, more recently Piku with Deepika. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, Elisa.
I haven't, no.
Oh, that's fine. Put that on your list. I'm sure
I will. I know. My very long list.
So October, the trailer, Oh man, I have so many thoughts, and I feel like I'll get emotional even just recalling this trailer. Lisa, you've seen it. What are your thoughts on this?
This didn't do it for me.
What?
I'm sorry. Yes, it just he came across like a kind of a creepy stalker, which I think is on purpose.
Yeah.
But it didn't make me go, ooh, that's so intriguing. Why is he a creepy stalker? Because I'm just kind of over creepy stalkers in movies.
I think that's pretty valid in Bollywood movies, where almost every hero at one point in the story is a creepy stalker.
Yeah. And it's funny because some people can pull it off and it doesn't bother me as much. But in this trailer, I was kind of like, nah, you coming across is just like, weird.
Nah, bro, back up.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of Run-Hun movies?
I haven't.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, not that it should matter, really.
What are his big movies? I'm trying to remember because I think I may have, actually.
I think his debut was with Student of the Year. And then he did Humpty Sharma Ki Dulhania. Badlapur was kind of... Badlapur was similar to this movie because that was one movie where he went, like, super dark. Like, from being, like, the mainstream commercial hero, he went to, like, the super dark sort of, like Tarantino-esque or, like, small, weird, fucked-up movie. He's also done stuff like Main Tera Hero. I'm trying to think of some of his other stuff as well. But he's very much the guy... Dishoom, with John Abraham. That was another kind of action entertainer.
Okay.
Thing, Jurwa 2 more recently, which is now on Netflix, where he remade a Salman movie. He's basically a Salman fanboy himself.
Interesting.
If you've seen a lot of Salman movies, I find like you could probably see a parallel between the two because he's also the guy that I guess I have a theory. Okay.
Okay.
I have a theory about Varun Dhawan because his dad is David Dhawan. If you couldn't tell, I love telling people that don't already know about this stuff like this.
Okay. Yeah, go for it. I love learning it.
So my theory is, so when Varun Dhawan first came on the scene, there's a lot of things that he did that reminded me of Salman. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy could easily be like the Salman of this generation. And then as I got to know and see him in more movies, and I kind of picked up a lot of mannerisms where I'm like, huh. And then I kind of thought about it. So his dad is David Dhawan, who's like this comedy director, and a lot of his movies have been with Salman. A lot of Salman's old hits from back in the day has been with David Dhawan. So I'm thinking about it. The more I think about it, I'm like, so it's pretty safe to say that this Varun Dhawan kid sort of kind of grew up looking up to Salman, like literally in front of him physically, probably in his presence, you know. It's not crazy to assume that. So I just kind of wonder that, you know, and I'm not saying he's aping Salman, but I just wonder how much of his personality and his own sense of humor and style and swagger was influenced by, you know, this guy that he looked up to back in the day probably as a kid,
right.
Salman Khan himself.
Right.
My theory. I'm
now I have to watch one of his movies just to test the theory.
Yeah, it's very subtle ways. I mean, and then again, it's funny because he then ended up remaking a Salman movie with Jurwa 2, which is when I looked around to everyone that I've said this to and be like, see. So you thought the trailer was very weird. Did you get a sense of the story from this trailer at all?
Well, the story was a little reminiscent of Talk to Her, which I don't know if you're familiar with that movie.
No.
It's a Pedro Almodovar film about a man whose girlfriend falls into a coma.
Oh.
And then he goes to the hospital and he meets a male nurse who's taking care of another girl who's in a coma and has fallen in love with the girl in a coma.
Whoa.
And yeah, it gets really dark. I don't want to spoil it for you. It's actually it's a really good movie, but it's also hard to take in a lot of ways. But it kind of gets into what does it actually mean to get to know somebody, and when you think you know somebody, you don't, and how we project what we want onto other people, and how women in particular are subjected to this from men, that men project things onto women that they want to see that aren't necessarily there. It gets really deep, but it's also really creepy. It's creepy. So when I watched the trailer, it definitely got me thinking of this other movie, and it seemed like there's some parallels with the whole coma storyline and him visiting the girl at the hospital and people being like, dude, what the fuck? You didn't even like
right.
know this girl that well, and now you're hanging out at the hospital. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, ew. And it just brought up Talk to Her is an amazing movie, but like I said, it can be hard to watch. So that's what I thought of when I saw this trailer. It didn't make me go, yippee, I want to see it. But, you know.
So I'm going to.
Maybe you'll see it and persuade me I should go and check it out.
Yeah, again, it's funny because your reaction is making me reassess my reaction. Because I'm like, do I like this movie because it's counterintuitive to other roles of this actor that I've seen? Or do I like it standalone for what's happening in the trailer itself outside of him? Because again, you're coming in from a perspective of, I don't know who this guy is, and you're looking at this trailer as a trailer for this movie. I'm coming at it because I am a fan of Varun Dhawan. He is problematic sometimes when he opens his mouth on social media, but but I do like him as an actor, and I do like that for a guy who's at the top of his career doing like a shtick of, you know, what I call a Salman shtick of, you know, he's a good-looking hero who takes his shirt off, and he's getting in a year. I think the best thing you can say about Varun Dhawan is in a year in 2017 where movies by people like Shah Rukh and Akshay and sort of stars didn't really hit the mark. Even Salman, for example, last year, Tublight and Rais, and in a year where those guys' movies flopped, Varun Dhawan had two hits. So I think that's kind of like the thing that makes people go, oh. So for him to do a movie like that, like October, and switch gears, to me is impressive. But not to be presumptuous, I'm going to tell you to go back and watch the director's stuff. Forget the actor, whatever. But this writer duo combo, the writer is a woman. I've had the pleasure of, I retweeted one of her movie reviews years ago, back in 2012, and she was so nice. She responded, and she's like, oh my God, thank you so much. And I'm like, ah! Anyways. but this duo is amazing because they've only done, I think, 5 movies together? Yes, 5 movies, including this one. And I think all the movies are so varied in genre. His first movie was like this Kashmir movie about a love story blossoming in Kashmir between a soldier and this Kashmiri girl, which again gives you a lot of the history of Kashmir, something that I heard about Kashmir, I knew what the drama was, India wanted, Pakistan wanted. That movie kind of made me go, oh, I never thought about what the Kashmiri people want. So that was a really cool movie. Vicky Donor is a movie about sperm donors. but again, not what you think. It's not crude, it's not vulgar, it's a very sort of heartwarming movie. Madras Cafe was like this political thriller, which probably is worst, which I mean still okay. And then Piku was all about, and Amitabh Bachchan's in Piku, so that's why it's kind of a double whammy for you, I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think Piku might be on Netflix too. But Piku is all about this girl and her relationship with her dad who's constipated constantly. That's the story of the movie. And and Irfan's in that one too, so there you go, triple whammy for you.
There you go. Okay, I'm gonna move that one up. That actually sounds just on objectively sounds.
Oh my God,
like
it's
want to see.
It's pretty good. But what I like about this director, anyways, is the fact that again he can switch gears like that. Like it's not that he's doing something that he's good at over and over again. So enough kind of blowing everyone in the movie. October. My response to the story was, I feel like the premise is hooked on the fact that this girl that he works with, that he kind of barely knows, colleague, I think the accident that she got into, and it's in the opening of the trailer, I think what happens is, when she's in the hospital, I think she asks for him before she goes into his coma. And I think that's what drives him insane. Why did this person that I didn't know too well ask for me in a moment of that sort of, you know, need? And I think that's what drives him crazy. And I think that's why he keeps going back. Like, what is it? Like, does she care about me? Did she like me? Like, is it something else? Like, what is it? Am I supposed to do something? I think that's what I took away from the trailer. Because the story opens with, you know, why did she ask? Where is dad? Why did she ask about me? What is going on? What did she call? Why didn't you guys tell her where I was? Where was I? Like, he seems to be going a little crazy over that. So that's how I took it. And the way the trailer's cut, too, is... Yeah, I always bitch about the fact that Bollywood has a massive problem with editing trailers, and not knowing how to do that. So to me, this trailer was like, I thought this trailer was amazing because I kept looking at it over and over. So I'm like, oh my god, I know nothing. This story gives nothing away. It's this weird thing. And yeah, definitely the stalker vibes are there, but I think that's the point of why is this guy going so stir crazy over something someone said. And yeah,
I mean, and it's, well, we could go to probably talk about this a lot. I just, my reaction is like, dude, she probably said your name because she was remembering, I don't
probably.
Know,
like, I mean, brain synapses, you know, things like, get fired and you don't know what, you know,
you know, before I die, I want to tell you, you drove me crazy when you didn't fold the napkins properly. I don't know.
It's just like, fair enough.
It could be anything. Anyway,
fair
but
enough. Yeah. No, fair. No, but that's what I'm saying. That's why it's making me rethink that, hey, do I like this because of the people that I know are involved in the movie? Or is it, you know, something else, right? So that's why it's really interesting that we had those two different reactions. Because, again, I'm going into it knowing, I love this guy's movie. I love the writer's movies. I like the star's movies. So you're coming at it going, who are these people? What is he doing? Leave her alone. all right. So the last movie that we're going to talk about that's coming out in 2018 April is... Now, I feel like this is a, I don't know what this word is, but there's an accent, and is it omerta?
It's omerta.
Omerta, okay.
And it's Italian.
Okay.
For honor.
Ah.
Which is interesting because I don't know what the trailer has to do with Italy, but anyway.
I don't know at all.
It's a mafia word, actually.
Oh,
when
is
I hear
it?
Omerta, I think of it. Yeah, I think of it in terms of the mafia, like the code of honor, not squealing and stuff like that. So, that's how I'm impressed. But you know, it could be something totally different. Maybe the word is different, and it's actually not what I think it is.
No, I was really curious because I'm like, what is this? Because even when you know what the story of this movie is about, it's kind of like I don't get what this word has to do with this movie. But Omerta. So, anyways, Omerta is coming out. Sorry, Omerta is coming out on 20th of April 2018. The movie is directed by Hansel Mehta, written by Mukul Dave and Hansel Mehta himself. It stars Rajkumar Rao. That's really the only person you need to know. There's a bunch of other supporting actors, but the movie is essentially a recounting of, I guess, not an origin story, but the movie is about the infamous British-born terrorist who is from Pakistan, Ahmed Omar Saeed Sheikh. He's mostly noted for, and again, this is coming into the realm of movies that deal with real life. He was the guy that kidnapped and murdered Wall Street journalist Daniel Pearl. And connecting it to Irfan Khan, this was the same journalist whose wife wrote a book which was made into the Angelina Jolie movie, A Mighty Heart, in 2007. And Irfan Khan was in that movie as well. So the weird part is, this movie is about this terrorist. It is about the fact that it is this guy's story about, not an origin story about how he became a terrorist, but I guess his actions during... He's also known for kidnapping Westerners in India during 1994. It's essentially a biopic about this British, Pakistani-born British terrorist who kind of hates India and... is a terrorist. So Hansel Mehta is the director who's known for a lot of sort of hard-hitting storylines. The writer of the movie, Mukul Dave, who also happens to be an amazing supporting actor as well in Bollywood, he gave him the idea back in 2005. And at the time, the research for this movie was really hard to do because the internet was slow and you had to do a lot of physical book research. So Hansel Mehta and Rajkumar Rao did Shahid first. Again, no relation. So this movie technically has been 13 years in the making, and it's out. It was screened at TIFF and a bunch of other film festivals. It's gotten rave reviews from, again, not just Bollywood outlets, but Hollywood outlets like Variety and things like that. You saw the trailer, Lisa, but what is your, again, not knowing the history, not going into all this, what was your take on this trailer?
Rajkumar Rao looks really good in a beard. on a purely shallow note.
Fair enough.
No, I mean, I'm being silly. Though he does, I'm dead serious about looking good in a beard. But in terms of the movie, you know, it's hard for me. I was living in New York on the September 11th attack, and I actually saw part of it. I wasn't right there, thankfully. I was about 3 miles away, but it was so, those buildings were so big that even being 3 miles away, I saw the second plane hit the building. So it is really hard for me in general to just watch it. Yeah, I'm getting personal, but I mean, it's really hard for me to watch these kind of films. Mm-hmm. It's just because I have a really hard time just absorbing the movie. It brings up a lot of stuff about, you know, what was going on at that time. Having said that, I mean, based on just the trailer, I'm really interested that that Rajkumar is playing the lead, you know, he's the lead character and playing it as a hero in a way. I mean, the way the movie's put together, hero is maybe not the right word. I'm not saying they're elevating him, but they're the protagonist, right?
Like, I guess the lead would be a better, more neutral word. Maybe, he's the lead character of the movie, but see, and that was my...
He's not framed in a villainous way. So that's interesting. You know, this is a whole... Obviously, there's a whole bunch of political baggage and bullshit around this thing. But it's just interesting to me to see that he's portrayed as somebody who, in the context of the trailer, looks like he's doing... almost like he's doing a job, like he's doing something very clear-minded. Right, he looks very clear-minded and very secure. I don't know if that's the right word. Confident in what he's doing.
See, so the weird part is, like, to me, I mean, as interesting as the trailer looks, I feel like it does a really bad job of representing what we're watching. Because everything that I talked about this movie, I had to look up. So the messed up part is, when you look at the trailer on its own, you're kind of thinking, is this supposed to be like a sympathetic, humanized look at a terrorist and the conditions that led him to become this evil person? Is that what this is? In which case, it begs the question, why are we doing that with someone who clearly is an evil person? But then once...
Well, I think... Yeah, go ahead.
No, no.
I think, because when I was watching it, to me, it was framed as... Yeah, like, now heroic is... I don't want to... Like, it is a really charged word, but it definitely was a portrayal that made him seem confident, somebody who's respected. Other people seem like they defer to him in the trailer.
Like the backstory,
trailer.
Right?
Yeah. And so... and it isn't until the very end that they flash the names of all these terrorist actions and you realize what this guy is actually...
You're like, wait, am I not supposed to like him in the beard?
Yeah,
what's happening?
Yeah, exactly. Am I not supposed to find him hot in the beard? I'm confused.
He did what now?
So, yeah, but actually, I mean, which is actually, from a filmmaking point of view, could be really interesting. If it's subverting your expectations about the character, that's okay. I just personally, you know, it's just, there's a lot of, I get very strong emotions around that stuff that makes it hard for me to have an objective view.
I don't think you should apologize for that, because I think, I mean, that's, it's a thing, it's happened, and, you know, it affected, you know, a lot of people like you, very, on a very personal, emotional level, which is why, again, it sort of begs the question of, and obviously, we haven't seen the movie. We're obviously talking about from the trailer alone. And from what I've heard about the movie, Hansel Mehta himself has said this isn't an origin story. This is not a backstory about how he becomes a terrorist. This is a very much an examination of sort of institutionalized creating evil sort of a thing. And again, these are kind of, I'm paraphrasing his words. And even Rajkumar Rao has said that this is one of the most, like, you know, bar none, difficult characters he's ever portrayed, because he had to get into this headspace of this horrible, horrible person, and it was really hard for him to do, to the point where there's a story that they talk about where they were making the movie during the Paris shootings, and because he was so much in character, his initial response to that was, oh, good. Like, he was...
and then he went, holy shit. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the story, that apparently he was so in character playing this person, thinking like him and talking like him and kind of reflecting his ideologies, that when he heard about this terrible thing, he reacted like the character, or how the real life person would have, that, oh, okay, yeah, good, those people, blah, 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 blah. And then he backtracked that, going, holy fuck, like, what am I doing?
Right.
So it's kind of like an intense look into, like, I guess, evil, really. So that's what makes me interested at is the movie going to end up glorifying him? If not, if you are condemning him as a terrorist, how is he the lead character in the movie? Like, it's just kind of really weird to me to kind of try to understand Because everything you know about storytelling, right? That the lead character is who you have to relate to, or who has to a conflict. But if the conflict is something we don't want him to overcome by the end of it, it's kind of like, no, don't kill people. Like, no, get right. caught by the cops. Like, I don't understand how we're gonna get there. Like, I'm thinking back to other things that have terrible people as a lead character, like the series Dexter, for example, where he's a killer, but you kind of in a weird way root for him to get away because
well, right.
he has a code.
No.
He has omerta.
but see, I have a theory about things like Dexter and Breaking Bad and Mad Men
right.
and Game of Thrones and all
yeah.
those, which is that how do I do this without taking up the whole podcast? But just basically that these are movies, these are entertainment that has a very dark and cynical view of the world, which is about that the world is irredeemably corrupt. Mm-hmm. So that the person you identify with is the person who, quote, wins. It's not about who's moral. It's not about who's good. It's about the person who can get away with the most. And you are explicitly invited to identify with the character who can get away with the most.
Different. Fair enough.
You know,
in the context of this movie, though, does that work?
No, it doesn't. I don't think so. Based on what they're showing you,
yeah.
I think. But you know, ambiguity is what I meant. Ambiguity is okay as long as it's done purposefully. Like if our feelings about this guy are supposed to be very complex. Like on some level, you admire him because mm-hmm. he's so smart and resourceful and carrying out his plans, but then the destruction is horrible. I mean,
yeah.
it's okay to feel that. It'll be interesting. Yeah, as I'm talking to this, I'm like, maybe I do want to see the movie. And plus, I really love, actually, all kidding aside, not from a looks perspective, but Raj Kumar is great. You know, I've only seen him in two small parts, but he really made a big impression. I saw him in Queen and I saw him yeah. in Talish, and he was really great in both. And I thought he's somebody I would, you know, trust to be really good in this.
Yeah. I mean, and similar to you, I use my wife as the litmus test for a lot of things as well, in terms of, you know, what's interesting. She saw one of his movies last year that was the lesser known sort of rom-com thing he did. And she saw that and she was like, I love him. I'll watch anything he does ever. And I'm like, whoa. And I wonder if that's also the other thing that we're having trouble reconciling, right? That a guy like Raj Kumar Rao, who we've usually associated with characters that are charming and good and you know, adorable in some situations.
Mm-hmm.
For him to play a guy like this, like so ruthlessly, you know, terrible, I wonder if that's also an intentional thing, you know, for the director that, hey, we're going to cast Raj Kumar Rao, who's like the most
right.
likable person in Bollywood, in a role of one of the most vile people in history, and let's see what happens, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah. Using that image to subvert your expectations about the character. Yeah, totally. Now I've talked myself into wanting to see the damn movie. I can't believe
yes.
it. Anyway.
Perfect. All right. So, well, that sounds like mission accomplished to me. I think we're going to end it there. We covered a lot of different topics here. There is some other movies, like we mentioned, are coming out. They don't really have trailers. There's really not much to discuss about those movies. One of them is a John Abraham, Diana Penty starring Parmanu, The Story of Pokhran, releasing on April 6th. All we really know about this movie is that Pokhran is a city in Rajasthan in India where they conducted the first nuclear tests, and that's it. And we don't really know much about the story. There's really not a trailer. There's some character posters that look all right.
The character poster bothered me though.
Did it?
Because it was the woman who helped build the nuclear bomb, and she looks really heroic. And I thought, I'm not sure I'm feeling good about lionizing somebody who created a nuclear weapon. Anyway, just based on the poster,
And again, and I think from what I looked into, I think the director was like a first-time director. So, I mean, again, there's not much to get excited for this movie without seeing anything from it. The next movie that's also coming out, which again we have nothing for except for like a first look poster, is Bazaar, which means market, which is apt because the movie's about the stock market. It's a crime drama about the stock market, apparently. It stars Saif Ali Khan, Radhika Apte, and Chitrangada Singh. See, I do it too. And again, the director's a first-time director. He was the AD on Bluffmaster, Kuch Na Kaho, and some other movies from a couple of years ago. The weirdest part about this movie is it's written by someone I really like, Nikhil Advani, who's a director of movies like Kal Ho Na Ho and D-Day. One of those directors I like, but he's kind of always hit and miss sometimes. Again, There's a poster of Saif Ali Khan in like a suit and tie with like a streak of, you know, General Hospital gray, and that's meh. All right. not to end on an eh note, but that's really it for this episode of the Spitscreen Podcast. We just covered the movies that will be releasing in 2018 April. Definitely let us know what movies you're going to be interested in. Is there any movies we talked you into, like Alyssa talked herself into during the show? Definitely let us know. Alyssa, where can people get a hold of you on the internet?
At Bollywood Newbie on Twitter. And you can also, if you want to see my real life persona, you can do at L.I. Rivera, also on Twitter. And yeah, and I would love, I talk on Twitter all day, so I would love to hear from any of you who want to chat about the movies. That would be awesome.
I feel like if you solicit like sort of things to add onto your list, I feel like you'll get inundated. I mean, not saying my show is so famous everyone listens, but I feel like there's a joy of watching and experiencing content that you've already seen through the eyes of someone brand new. I always tell people that I think the best thing about having kids, and I'm not even exaggerating, is being able to re-experience movies that you love through their eyes for the first time again. Yes. So, and I think that's the joy of, you know, a newbie, where, yes, you know, I can recommend something to you and you watch it and you're like, oh my gosh, I watched this movie and it was amazing. And I'm like, see, job, mission accomplished. Or in the other sense, like, I saw this movie, you stupid idiot, what were you thinking? Which is also great.
Yes. But so perfect. Please, actually, seriously, like, send me stuff or any random stuff you wanna, which people have been doing already, like Amrita, who I don't know her last name, but she's been, and Margaret from Don't Call It Bollywood has been hitting me. So yeah, I get a lot, but more awesome. Would be awesome. I would love to hear from you guys.
Perfect. And thank you so much for taking the time, Elisa, to show up here to do this with me. Hopefully you'll be back if this wasn't a horrible experience.
Oh yeah. If you couldn't tell, I love to talk, so yes, you should invite me back. That would be good.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, thank you again for coming on, and thank you everyone for listening. If you do want to get more episodes, please listen, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or any other preferred podcasting app you have. The show notes will contain all the links to the trailers and first look posters and images that we discussed during this show. You can find the show notes on our home at Audio Boom. Feel free to visit my website on Blank Page Beatdown as well if you want to listen directly on your browser. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It does help other people find the show. And as usual, helps me feel better about my life and everything else. To get in touch with us, follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. You can follow me directly on Twitter at TheShahShahid. And that's probably the best place to get in touch with me with any feedback or anything else you might have about the show. If there's movies you want me to cover or you kind of want to come on the show like Lisa, and discuss movies of your own, remakes, things like that, definitely let me know there. And that's it for us today. Thank you so much for listening once again. Hope you enjoyed the show, and until next time, this is Shah Shahid signing out.